Oh, I got his ass now.
You have to be fast on the track.
I hate that guy.
This race can change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tori Nighthawk! Whoa!
Coffee Chatter, show number 199, I can't just call it a Tulsa recap. I think we're gonna change it to the Spicy Tulsa Recap Show.
This is a big show today. This might be one of our most anticipated shows we've ever done.
People want to hear. They want to hear the drama, the business, the action, thoughts, what we're thinking. I think this is a big one.
Can we ask the people in YouTube if your sound is super loud, because it's coming through like a megaphone on my end?
This is the thing on my computer again. It's doing it. It'll stop, remember? But I don't know how long it takes.
Oh, wait. I think it's good.
We're back?
Oh, my God. It sounded horrible. I was like, am I going to have to do an hour and a half of this fucking megaphone circus? But we're back. Show 199. Holy smokes. What a weekend in Tulsa. It's all anyone can talk about the BMX world. What's going down between Cam and Isaac. So we'll talk about it, give our opinions on things, chat about the rule in question, recap the weekend, talk about Chilliwack. Broget Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Isaac Kennedy, fuck, he was ripping some off in Tulsa on a Broget Europe.
You can tell the guy practices on one. You know, it's obvious. He's just ripping them off on a Broget Europe. He's not practicing on a gate from Davenport, Iowa that your uncle built in his backyard with his brand new welder that he got from Home Depot. It's not that gate. All right. It's a proper gate. It's a proper one that you buy from ProGate Europe. Okay. Because that's where they make all the gates for the World Cups, the World Championships, all the major events around the world, the Olympics. You heard of it? Come on now.
Yeah. We got show 200 coming up next week. It's going to be a very special show. We were thinking about it last week. I'm going to be honest, kind of forgot 200 was coming up this past week. So now we got to get on planning because we have an idea and it's going to be a good, fun, special show.
We do need to plan. It takes coordination. We were busy guys this past week. I'm just going to be honest. We were busy guys. Things kind of came at us quick.
They really did. I went up to Chilliwack the past week. Man, it was nice being home. Stayed at my parents' house in Coquitlam. It is just a fucking beautiful place in the world. It really is. Where I grew up and obviously our hometown, it's like one of the prettiest places I've ever seen.
Incredible, isn't it?
It is. Like on a nice day, it was hot and warm the first few days I was there. And man, I was just looking around at all the mountains and the greenery and just, wow, it was so beautiful. And I just couldn't believe how fresh the air was.
We got good summers, good springs, good summers, good falls. The winters is what gets it, which you missed. You don't have to worry about it. But dude, I swear the air, obviously there's crisp air around the world. I get that. For San Diego, this is good. The water though, the tap water here is just, I don't know. It's just next level.
It is next level. It feels like silk on your hands.
You guys got weird. What do they call it? Hard water?
It's really hard water. Yeah. So you get like the sediment build up on the faucets.
You got coughing? You got a cough?
Yeah, I'm sick. Imagine I'm sick. Went to another indoor race and got sick. Who would have thought? It's to the point where it's like, so I'm 3 for 3, Chilliwack, Tulsa, Chilliwack. I actually went and got tested for strep throat today. Thankfully, I don't have it.
Well, that's nice.
Just a virus, yeah. But I'm going to need a plan moving forward. I can't keep getting sick after these races. I got shit to do.
What do you do? Like, how do you just not?
I don't know.
Maybe I just
go out more during the day of the stadium and just breathe in fresh air instead of being in the stadium more. I could probably do a better job of taking some, I don't want to say pills, but like fucking, what's the word? Take some vitamins, more thoroughly throughout the weekend.
I'm concerned these aren't high enough levels of what we're doing. Like, I think we go like some kind of breathing apparatus, like some kind of positive pressure, self-contained breathing apparatus where you're just getting fresh air the entire time you're in the building.
I'm just looking like I'm going scuba diving, but I'm inside. I'm going to need a fucking hazmat suit at the next one.
You might need to get one. We could get you one of those painter's masks where it's just the filters on the side. Maybe one of those ones.
The problem is because I don't have a spleen, I'm more susceptible. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I hope so. Meaning that's so what they say.
I think if I get run down and tired or stressed and I'm in a building like that, it's like, yeah.
You had a big week, came home, played a bunch of golf, hung out, went to 3 days racing, came over here, hung out, had sushi, played more golf. Like, dude,
It was busy. It was busy. Yeah, every day was busy. I really enjoyed it, seeing the boys, playing some golf. But yeah, I think if you're just in a stadium like that for 3 days and you're maybe a bit tired, you're more susceptible, especially when you're asplenic.
Ace, yeah.
So we're dealing with it. We're moving on. Going to Mississippi this weekend to coach a clinic Saturday, Sunday. So I'm pretty excited.
Outdoor track?
Yep, outdoor track. Only track in Mississippi. So if you're in Mississippi area, let's go. Let's do the clinic.
Spell Mississippi really fast. Go.
Mississippi.
Nice job.
Mississippi. Yeah,
that was good.
So, yeah, really excited. Stop two on the Torrenog Riding Clinic Tour this year in Mississippi. So see you there this weekend. But back to the Chilliwack trip. I got to say, we're not going to do a full golf check-in, but I am playing some outrageously good golf right now.
I can attest, kids had a match, had an absolute stalemate of a match on Sunday. It was incredible.
We did. The boys were going at it. Had a blast back home.
How's the rest of Chilliwack quickly? How's the track looking? Any excitement?
The track was pretty good for Chilliwack. It was more the normal layout, like the first straight and then just a 180 turn back and forth, like M shape.
Yeah.
Because last year for the Grands, it was the sweeper. So I thought the track was better. And I had a handful of riders I coached there. So I got to coach them in person, which was great. Canadians and a couple Americans that came up as well that I work with. So that was really cool. We got some good talent. I'm telling you, we got some good talent in Canada. Every class has some studs, so it was cool to watch the next generation coming up, and I like watching them.
That's exciting. We have a lot of, we've talked about it for sure, we won't get into it, but we do, so it's good to see that they were able to get some racing in. That was exciting.
Yeah.
Did you realize or see that our obviously predictions last show about Mariana's news, I think we were just completely off.
Can we talk about how wildly inaccurate our guests were?
It wasn't even close.
Not even remotely close.
I don't understand how we got so far off. Like, I'm trying to like think back to what we said on the show and how we did. Like, we just can't keep up with her.
Yeah.
So
no, she got all shit going on. She really does. I don't even know what her news was, really. It was like it's like a racing league for kids or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was some kind of like, yeah, just like big race. I thought it was like some kind of, wasn't it like the Giro de Mariana or something? The Grand Mariana. I don't know now.
Yeah, something like that. So we were just wildly even close. But you know what? You got to put yourself out there. The boys had a crack. We were wrong. We move on.
I could have seen it being a bike company. I could have seen that happen. It wouldn't have been a surprise to me.
Yeah. So, you know, we chalked that up as a loss. But, yeah, cool news for Mariana. Good work.
It is. 2024 World Cup schedule was officially released. Just another moment where we hinted at stuff and then stuff just got released on the show or after the show. Sorry. Just, you know, we're your news for everything before it happens.
Honestly, interesting schedule. I kind of like it. Different places.
I like the early stops. I mean,
why don't you read out the schedule so people know? Do you have it in front of you?
No, but I can easily pull it up here. If you give me can we just make noise for a second here?
World Cup schedule. One sec. I had it too. Okay. So yeah. Rounds 1 and 2 are in New Zealand in February, and then Australia end of February, and then the next rounds in Tulsa end of April, and then June in Papendal. So pretty cool. Like obviously 3 new spots plus the absolute staple Papendal.
Yep.
I like that the U.S. has one again. It's kind of weird that the U.S. is so big in BMX and such a powerhouse, and there just hasn't been one. So I think Tulsa is the place to do it right now in the U.S. because I think people will be there to watch, and I think the city will get behind it and promote it well.
I think so too. They And when is the last time we had, I guess, Rock Hill World Cup in the US was Rock Hill. That was probably the last one.
2019, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it's been longer. I don't know why it is. Sometimes those ones just kind of blend in. Like, I miss, like, the mega ones. The Rock Hills in the from the 15, 16, 17 range. Those were big ones. The one in 2018, 19. Was it 18 or 19? It was 19.
Which one?
The Rock Hill World Cup. 2019?
The last one was in 19, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like, I don't know why, that one just kind of blends in. It just doesn't really stand out to me. So I think Tulsa will be doing the opposite. I don't think it's one that is going to let disappoint. I mean, there's a lot of Euros who haven't been there, which is great. A lot of North Americans have had a lot of time on it. Yeah, even the South Americans probably. Well, maybe not. But finally get that home track advantage again for them.
Yeah, and I think it'd be kind of a cool track for a World Cup, I think.
Kind of. I mean, we've had some great racing. I mean, let's talk about, we'll get into this weekend in a bit, but like, we've already had some great races there so far. I can't imagine you throw even more fast guys in the mix. It's not going to get any more tame. Let's be real.
Okay. So should we just hop right into it? Elite men.
Let me check what's more on the schedule. Somebody messaged, I just had to do something. Let's just get into it. I mean, we could talk Latvia quickly, but everyone, let's give the people what they want.
Let's give the people what they want. So obviously it was just the talk of everything. Everyone I've saw like in Chilliwack, they come up to me like, so what do you think of the Cam Isaac situation?
People at Canadian, at Chilliwack were asking that? Oh, yeah.
It was all anyone was talking about. It's the thing in the BMX world right now. What a rivalry this is shaping up to be. I can't remember one like this, to be honest.
This is what sports are made of. This is what every 100%. Person in the world watches sports for that moment where they can root for their guy and they're going against their arch nemesis, basically. They're rival. Yeah.
And dude, both those guys are going so fast right now.
Like top of their game. Really,
100%. They're really separating themselves from everyone else.
They are. I mean, they haven't gone this fast ever. Like, they're at the peak of their games right now. Probably most confident they've ever been, expecting to win whenever they get out there. And the fact that they're just putting on they're basically one v one out there. I know the other guys are in the mix, like Sylvan, Jorce, Cam, whoever else. Like, all these guys are in the mix, of course. But the amount of times that Isaac and Wood have gotten together now is just like, it's incredible. Like, they're on another level.
So obviously everyone saw, but we'll just do a quick recap. So day one, Isaac's leading the main event, coming out of the last corner. Cam's beside him. Oh, not beside him, behind him. High lows to the inside of the last straight. Yeah. Isaac moves across the track, crosses the finish line first. Cam crosses in second. And then Isaac ends up getting DQ'd for cutting over on the last straight. All right. I'll start us off with my opinion. So I was actually watching this in Chilliwack in the stands.
Okay.
I was watching it on my phone. And then the live feed, you got a decent angle. Like, it showed him in the last corner. And then it's kind of like behind the finish line looking back, obviously. Yeah. And then I saw Isaac move across the track from like the outside chalk to the inside chalk. And as I was watching him across the line, I was thinking, wow, I wonder if he'll get DQ'd. And sure enough, he ended up getting DQ'd. In my opinion, I think the call was correct, honestly, because the rule says, like, you can't deliberately obstruct someone on the last straight. You can't deliberately cut them off. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I think it's pretty obvious that it was on purpose, because he comes out of the last corner on the outside of the chalk. And then by the end of the straightaway, he's on the far side. So he cut across the whole track. Like, I'm sure felt Cam was there. So to me, it's pretty obvious that he moved over on him on purpose to not let him by, which you can't do. And, you know, it's like, a lot of people don't agree with the rule and they think the rule's dumb. I think that's a whole separate discussion we'll probably get into after this as well. But whether you like the rule or not, it kind of doesn't matter, because the rule is the rule. And in my opinion, I think it was the right call. It's not a new rule. It's not like pros don't know. Like, we all know that you can't cut someone off on the last straight, because that'll happen. This has gotten called in the past. I think part of the issue was it hasn't decided like a high profile race like this before, where there's a rivalry and like, obviously the win's been, I don't want to say taken, but it's like, it hasn't decided a race before. But it's happened in, I don't know, earlier rounds at World Cups, happens in Europe, and it's not an uncommon rule by any means. So that's kind of my take initially. What do you think, Pom?
So I'll say the one thing I disagree with that is, I don't think he meant to do it. Okay, I don't think Isaac meant to cut across. I know. So I didn't like, obviously, I think tons of people were complaining about this. The moment that Isaac goes from one side to the other, the angle switches to a different camera and you kind of miss what happens, which sucks. But I thought from what I quickly saw that Isaac kind of messed up over the tabletop, was it, out of the turn, and then like basically shot right. So long story short, like I agree. It's not going to be a long, let's be real. It's not going to be a short story. I agree with it, unfortunately, as well. Like, I think you can't impede somebody down the last straight. That is the rule. You have to play by it. People are trying to say that, you know, USA BMX is playing favors for Cam. I don't think that's the case. I think a rule's a rule. I think sometimes in pro racing, things don't get called, and that's where now that they call something, that people are freaking out, saying, oh, you know, they're protecting Cam or blah, blah, blah. Well, it's like, I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, it was a blatant Cam or Isaac shot across the track, and I think Cam was going to pass him, and he impeded him. Now, like I said, I don't think Isaac meant to. I could tell, like, down, it looked like down the rhythm section that Isaac bobbled a couple times. Just, they're flooring it. They're going like 110% around the track, flooring it. He knows what's on the line. And I think he started to bobble in the rhythm, and then coming out of the turn, I think he probably knew, he had to have known Cam was on him. Like, if you bobble in the rhythm, you know the guy's on your outside. He's going to be making a run down the last straight. And I think coming out of the turn, he probably tried to just, try to just go as fast as he can, get as low as he can, bobbled a little bit, and ended up shooting across the track, which it took Cam's line away. And I think Cam probably had a good chance to run to the line and pass him, maybe try to get a line nip in. So even though it's a mistake and it's an accident, it's still a cutoff. It's still impeding somebody down the last straight, which is why I think it's probably, and I agree that it is the right call too, yeah.
Interesting. So you don't think you meant to cut him off all the way to the
edge?
Like, you don't?
Yeah, like, I don't think so. Like, I don't know about my eyes. They can't see that video well enough to tell me otherwise. I think he goes over that table, kind of gets too G'd out into it, trying to suck it up, and then just, like, shoots, like, falls and shoots to the right and saves it before it goes off the track, but in the process just completely bones Cam, which is, unfortunately, like, rules are rule. Like, you can't impede somebody down the last straight. That's the one place you can't cut somebody off. You can make your line out of the turn, and you can say, like, okay, I'm on the left out of the turn, but I want to be on the right, so you cut down. That's fair.
Yeah.
But as soon as Isaac kind of started going straight along the chalk line, his line is basically the rider's left of that. And when he shoots across, that's completely impeding somebody else.
Interesting, yeah, because when I watched it, it might, like, I haven't talked to him so much. Yeah, obviously, I don't know for sure, but it looked like he meant to move over on him to cut him off. That's what I took from it. So here's the rule. I looked it up just so we could have the exact wording.
Yep.
Obstruction on the final straight. The lead rider shall have the right to choose his line on the track and through the corners. When on the final straight, however, the lead rider shall not deliberately obstruct another rider from passing. So basically you can't cut someone off is basically the rule.
Yeah.
So I think by the definition of the rule, like I said, in my opinion, he did cut him off, and it was warranted the DQ is what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's, I don't know what people think of the rule. I don't know if people don't like the rule. People complain that, and we joke about it too, that in pro racing, that kind of rule doesn't, like, somehow last straight rules don't get called, blasts don't get called. Like, some people don't just, I don't know why. It just seems like in pro racing, they almost let the riders deal with it themselves. But in a scenario like this, you have no other choice but to make a call. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, is USA BMX going to say that's clean, that's fair? Like, let's put the other guys, let's swap it around. Let's say that's Cam and that's Isaac. You're going to tell me that if Cam shot across in the last straight, that USA BMX would do anything different? I don't think so, honestly. My honest opinion is they wouldn't do anything different.
No, I think no matter who it was, like rider A, rider B, I think it's the same. In my opinion,
It's like, fortunately, it's a mistake, and that's what cost him, because let's be real, Isaac, he had the win. Huge, great first straight, great whole shot, leading fine. And then it's just like a mistake on the last straight, as simple as it was. You got a guy hunting you down like that. It's just that all it takes is that simple little, what I think was a mistake. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. And probably deliberate or not, like, I would say he did impede Cam. Would you say so?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we saw, like, I think in one of the motos, we saw people like ripping down the last straight. Cam was one of them I saw ripping down the last straight. One of the, I think it was a moto or a semi. I can't really remember. But he was flooring it. So it's not like he didn't have a shot to get him, especially if there was a bobble in the rhythm from Isaac too. Like, Cam had the momentum down the rhythm section through the turn, and he would have had it down the last straight, I think, too. Well, you don't know for sure, but yeah.
So let's get into the rule a little bit. The part of the issue was it's kind of ambiguous. It's not like a cut and dry thing. Like, yeah, it says obviously you can't deliberately obstruct another rider from passing. I was talking about this today, and it's like you almost need to also add in there that you maybe need to hold your position more or less, like hold your line of where you are.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, can you read the rule out again to me? Sorry. Is it there? Do you have it
handy? It basically says on the final straight, the lead rider shall not deliberately obstruct another rider from passing.
Yeah.
Like I almost need, it might be good if they added something like you need to hold your position or you need to ride straight or something.
I thought that's kind of what it was. So that is quite vague.
Dude, I thought it was too. Like before this whole thing, I thought that's what it was, but it's actually not part of it, which I feel like if you're going to have this rule, that kind of does need to be part of it.
Are we reading USA BMX rule book or UCI rule book?
UCI.
Okay. So they're probably pretty similar anyways.
I think they went by the UCI rule.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I always had in my mind that it was like you have to pick your line, stick with your line down the last straight. I guess.
I mean, basically you do. You basically do. It's kind of implied.
Yeah. It does get weird because obviously everyone's going to bring up something they can think of in the past where a rider cut over and cut somebody off and then nobody got, you know, DQ'd or anything like that. And I bet you it wasn't for first place though. I bet you it wasn't the two guys battling and it probably just got shuffled under the carpet that nobody really paid attention to or saw and nobody said anything because it wasn't for first. But this is just getting highlighted because it's the two alpha guys that have already beef this year. I've already been going at it head to head that it's like, it's in the spotlight. So now's the time we figure out what this rule is and what to do with it moving forward kind of thing.
So speaking of the rule now, like I honestly never gave it much thought whether I liked it or not, or whether I thought it was right, just because it was kind of always the rule and we just, whatever, went with it. There's pros and cons. I saw people in the comments that are saying, well, you can cut people off anywhere on the track, so why can't you do it on the last straight, which is a valid point. But I think what the rule obviously is trying to promote is last straight kind of drag races to the finish line where you got to really race someone to the line. So for me, I see both sides, but I honestly kind of like the rule because I think it makes for better last straight racing. What do you think?
Yeah, it seems... Yeah, I agree. It does. That's the whole point. You want to see guys be able to battle to the line. Everyone, you want to race to the finish line. You have to be faster on the entire track. You need to get to the finish line. If you're allowed to just bob and weave, then there's no point. Like, I mean, it's just, that's kind of dumb. You're not creating those environments where it's exciting to watch two people go to the line. Like, it's not it. And down the straightaways, you can't really, you can move over on people more than you can the last straight by the sounds of it, of the rule and what we believe anyways. But when it comes to the last straight, it's like, yeah, you want that. You want to see two people be able to go head to head and just see who can get to the line the quickest. That's part of it. That's part of BMX.
They should almost take out the word deliberately obstruct another rider from passing too. Because what if someone cuts someone off without realizing, then they could just be like, oh, it wasn't deliberate. And technically they didn't break the rule, which is like, you kind of need to take that rule out. It's like, well, if you cut someone off, you cut someone off, whether you meant to or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's a good point. Because if you're talking deliberate, and I think that Isaac made a mistake that caused it, that wasn't deliberate. If that is the case, it wasn't deliberate. It was accidental. But you still obstructed somebody. So then it's like, okay, well, then now how picky are we getting with the rule?
Yeah, and basically the head referee is implying that you did. Has to decide like whether he or she thinks you deliberately did.
I want to see if the USA BMX has any different wording for theirs. Because now we're getting into the wording, and I actually find this interesting.
I think from what I heard, they use the UCI rule. That's what I heard.
I wonder how or why. It's not even... It's obviously track important. Important racing rules. Last straight rule. Similar to the 30-foot rule. When the final straight, a rider determined by an official to have intentionally impeded the progress of another rider may be disqualified from qualification or moved to last place in the main event. Moving over is not a foul in or of itself. Intentionally moving over and blocking another rider is the foul. Basically, coming out of the last corner, maintain your line to the finish.
Yeah, which, I mean, Isaac didn't, so.
Yeah. It's tough. I was very surprised the amount, like, people like to take sides. Like, that's part of sports. That's part of what you do.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point, I'm surprised some people don't look at it for the situation that it is.
Dude, no, like so many people were not looking at things objectively and were deciding with their guy one way or the other. And it's like, yeah. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you think the rule's stupid. Like, the rule's the rule. Everyone knows it. Like,
yeah.
No, it's like people are being gnarly.
I'm not going to act like I haven't done that, let's say, with the Bengals. Like, but I would hope I make it jokingly enough that people realize I'm joking. Like, I mean, when the Bengals were in the playoffs and there was like 4 third downs, I'm protesting that. Like, it's a joke. It's like that. It was in the rules. That was all legal. It is what it is. It seems like sometimes the comments here or there, people are taking shots. It's not like fun and games. It's not joking around. It's like shots are being taken sometimes. I don't know if it's too far or not. That's social media these days, but people got to realize too, like, it is what it is. Like, racing happened, that it was a mistake. Someone got cut off. That's impeding. That's what happens.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what, boy, is it added to the series and made it even more exciting.
Unbelievable. Hey, you can't take your eyes off the pro class right now in those main events, especially when those two guys are in it.
Yeah.
Just when you think like they're not going to get together, Isaac's out in lane 6, Cam's in lane 2. You're like, okay, they got plenty of guys in between them. Good chance they don't find each other on the racetrack. Boom. That.
Yeah. So, man, like I said, they both put on a phenomenal show and they're both riding like amazing. Honestly, they're both world class and just at the top of their game. They're both really fun to watch and awesome riders.
Speaking of rules, actually, do you want to just quickly, before we get to the day 2 incident, you want to just talk about another rule thing?
Dude, I almost forgot about the day 2 incident. Yeah, go ahead.
So I saw Joey Lito and Sylvan just having a little back and forth on the socials in the comment section. Pretty good. Like, they were just kind of giving good discussion back and forth, asking about the rule, blah, blah, blah. It was pretty much with regards, in my opinion, to the rule we talked about last week with Sylvan. So I think it was day 1. Sylvan got bumped down the first straight by Cam, and then basically kind of got shot inside the cones, and then he let up. He didn't keep pushing. He pulled up and then jumped back in behind Cam and back inside the cones and kept racing. And I think Joey might have been a little frustrated because, like, he did go inside the cones at one point and then continued racing. So it comes back to that we talked about before, like, if you go off the track, how much do you have to let off the gas? In my opinion, when I saw that, I was kind of surprised because Sylvan did what I thought is the perfect way to do it. You get pushed off the track, you give up the position, you get back on the track ASAP, and you keep racing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's pretty ironic that we were just talking about this with Sylvan before the race.
Right?
Yeah, but I agree. Yeah. I mean, if you get pushed off the track, you got to let off and maybe forfeit the position or whatever happens and hop back in. I think that's perfect, and I think race continues.
Yeah. It's like, what do you expect the guy, like anyone, not just him, anyone do? We kind of talked about it a lot, so we don't need to go into it, but it's like, what do you expect someone to do? The track just doesn't have a sheer line at that line, meaning like you can go off and come back on. That's part of racing. You just can't gain positions. You didn't gain a position.
And it's not like your race should be over if that happens.
No, I agree. It's like, especially that early. Come on. Like, yeah.
I just remember one more thing on the Isaac and Cam the first day. So they moved Isaac to last, correct?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to assume.
I feel like that's not even fair whatsoever. I feel like if you're going to make that call, you got to just swap the positions and give him second.
I don't think that's in the rule. Qualification moved. It says another rider may be disqualified or moved to, so, or from qualification or moved to last place. So the rule is moved to last place.
I think that's not fair whatsoever. It's like he cuts somebody off and you move him to last. I mean, I think that's really unfair. I feel like they should just, okay, if you're going to do that, then just give him second or let him make him forfeit whatever position it's for. Like forfeit one. I don't think it's like, that's not fair to move to eighth.
Yeah, that's tough. That is a little tough. It's not
like if he didn't, move over, he would have got last. Like he,
no.
You know, it's,
yeah, that is tricky. Good point. That is really tricky because although it's a disqualification, like there's nothing that says disqualification though, you just lose one place. It's a disqualification just puts you to last. And you're right. It's a last straight call. Like there is a separation between calls that happen in the turn, calls that happen on the first straight and so on. So if it's a last straight like that and you impede one person, then I mean, yeah, why are you getting last place? There's points on the line. There's a lot of, at the end of the day, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of points on the line. To lose from first to eighth and not just first to second that's big.
It's huge. Like that is really harsh and not warranted whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like it honestly, more than I think about it, the more I think it doesn't make any sense to move the person to last. Like I said, they should just forfeit the position. It's like in other sports, they just Yeah, they do that in like motocross and stuff. They don't. It's not like they move them to. Oh yeah, you know, you did something we don't like. Instead of forfeiting one spot or 5 seconds, we're gonna move you to 22nd. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we need to review this rule, because that is something to think about. Like, how much would you get docked? Do you only get docked the one spot?
Yeah, that's what I think. That'd be completely fair.
Okay, it's not like a two. It's not like a Formula One 2 second penalty. You're kidding.
Yeah, I think one spot is fair, because if they're saying you impeded the person and you're basically saying they would have not necessarily would have passed you, but you didn't give them a fair shot at passing you.
Yeah.
Okay. You basically forfeit the spot to them.
That's a good point. Yeah. What happens if there's two people? Like, what happened if it was like a train of people? Like, you're cutting the guy in second there's also a guy on that guy's right. So there's three of you. So you're basically impeding two people. Do you move back to third?
Like, I guess you could, yeah, and that could be a judgment call.
Yeah, okay. I would be very much comfortable with that rule. That seems fair, seems understandably. I think everybody would be okay with that, because they understand yeah.
You know, in F1, they have that rule. You have to hold your line. Like, I don't know what the rule's called, but on the long straightaways, you can't just keep cutting someone off. You have to let them pull up alongside you to pass.
Yeah, it's just something like that. It's like under braking, you can't be turning under braking.
I think under DRS, in DRS zone, you can block them once, but you can't block them twice.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense then, yeah.
I don't know exactly the rule, but it's something like that. So that's why, like, they're not just going to keep swerving in front of the guy.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense, because that would be dangerous, let's be real. And they want to promote passing in Formula One.
Yeah, so just a little tidbit, something to chew on there.
Something to put in those teeth and chew on while we're talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was something. Everyone's going to have their opinion. Everyone's going to have their ideas. Just keep in mind, like, the rules. And if the guys were in the other place, what do you think would happen? And because we were talking about Sylvan's rule with Joey, just shout out to Joey Lito. He's been flying this year. Got to give the guy credit.
He's been riding really good.
Even last year as well. I mean, the guy's been flying. So just a shout out. Haven't really talked about him on the show before. So yeah, shout out to him.
All right. Well, while we're on Cam and Isaac, let's just talk about day two.
Yes.
So what's your opinion on day two?
I'm having a hard time feeling like I'm not siding with one guy here, because I don't think like anything was wrong with that, what happened. I think there was a mistake that caused something that then happened. Down the first straight, I'll watch the video again to make sure I'm not sounding like a jackass, but going over that triple in the first turn, Isaac's on the outside, you got Sylvan in the middle and Cam all battling. Was Sylvan on the inside? Let me check. See, that's why I don't want to
say Sylvan's in.
I have him open too.
Like three. I mean, yeah, Sylvan's there too. He's like between them.
Yeah. I thought I saw Cam get shuffled around a little bit and kind of launch into the turn. Isaac, I think, was driving it quite hard, especially after what happened yesterday. I think he was kind of taking no prisoners, basically. And at that point, I think Cam kind of got, I'm speculating. I think he got a little off balance and just ran him straight up the turn. That same kind of instance where I've talked about before, if you get off balance and you're stuck on somebody, it gets to a point where you need to turn into them, but they're trying to turn the other way. So you're just stuck. You can't go anywhere but ride their hip or ride their shoulder. And I thought that's what happened. I'm not going to
honestly. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't think that Cam deliberately took Isaac out over the turn. And I don't think Isaac was really doing anything wrong either. By the looks of it, I think he got his elbow in front and Cam just got kind of in that bad spot. And then they just gets shit happens.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was just a racing incident. Honestly, they're both racing hard. Clearly want to win. So for me, I didn't think it was dirty. I think Isaac was a bit ahead coming from the outside, tried to carve around. Cam went on the inside. Obviously they got kind of stuck together once. And you're right. Like once you get kind of stuck like that, you're kind of fucked.
Mm-hmm. Unless they can like turn your tipping point, like turn your balance over like a lot, you're screwed. And if normally that doesn't happen, normally you fall like harder and harder and harder until something happens.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with that. Like, I think that's just two dudes going for the win. And honestly, both these situations, like my opinions would have been the same regardless of what rider was which.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same. Like, I think both times people once again are siding with their guy, and it sounds, I feel like people probably think we side with some people sometimes, but I really don't think we are. I think we're pretty objective at looking at why things happen and making an opinion on that. Like, I think there was something that caused both things to happen, in my opinion. Both of those guys are incredible at riding their bike. They know how to be very stable, ride their line. If something like that happens to me where Isaac gets shot, shoots across the track, or what I think Cam is bumping over the triple in the first turn, he catches a little air, you get off balance. Both those guys got off balance at one time, and it caused shit.
I don't think Isaac moved across the last straight because of off balance. I think he felt Cam and was trying to shut the door, 100%.
I'm going to have to take a screenshot of something. We're going to have to get some video. We need somebody else's video, dude. We can't be looking at USA's like
live feed. We need some 4K fucking shit.
We need something. We can't be having a thing that just instantly pans to a different camera as it's happening because I can't see shit.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like pans. Pans to the last straight one, right as they're coming over the tabletop.
Yeah, like that's when everything happened. That's when I think it happened at least. So, I feel like people are going at Cam this weekend now. I think Isaac's got a good following on social media. He's got a good following around the world. People like his image. He's kind of got that bad boy look to him. He races hard. He races aggressive. He makes shit happen, and people love to see that. They love to watch him. And he's successful because he does it. And so I feel like he's got loud followers, and it seems like people are voicing their opinions in the comments hard on Cam's side, where I don't know if I see it the other way as much. I feel like the people on Cam's side are quite looking at it as like what it is, but maybe they're just kind of being biased because their guy got the win the first day. I don't know.
This is the beautiful thing about sport. You get your guy or your team and you just fucking ride with them. They can murder someone and they just be like, you know what? You're the man.
You can flip a car. You get a car accident, flip your car. You're the fucking man.
You just ride or die with your team or your guy. So this is, I mean, it's honestly good for the sport. It's a good rivalry. I'm honestly curious what other people think of the situation. I think people are probably split on it, obviously, like we've seen. And I don't know, like, obviously we're going to see him race a lot this year, and I'm just looking forward to watching him more. And we had to talk about it, which is really fun.
It's just an awesome time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun just to say our opinion. And I talked to a lot of people in Chilliwack too and whoever and talk about it. So it's interesting to hear people's different perspectives. And yeah, it's been quite the topic of conversation.
Have you heard any different opinions from somebody who's maybe not a racer, meaning like a parent or something? Have they had different opinions that you kind of surprised you at all?
Talked to a few people in Chilliwack and they thought Isaac moved over intentionally on Cam too and thought he should have got DQ'd as well. And then I was talking to someone today who thought the opposite, said basically, what did he say? He said, basically Isaac was moving over, but then he thought Cam hit his brakes and then said that he got cut off. So he kind of like milked it in a way.
So here's another question for you then. If that's you, if you're in Cam's position, you get what you believe is impeded, like the guy moves over, mm-hmm. accidental or not. Are you causing a ruckus at the finish line? And by causing a ruckus, I mean, are you saying something USA BMX? Like, what are we doing here? Like, are you protesting?
I think if you like, you're going for the win, you legitimately think in the situation the guy like moved over on you, like, and you know, impeded you in the last straight, and you know it's the rule, then yeah, I think I would. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I, by the sounds of it, that's what happened from what I heard. The Cam went back, and I thought people were saying like that's kind of ridiculous, and it's like to me it's not.
No, it's not. Like, dude, they protest in fucking different sports all the time.
Yeah, I mean, companies, people, like, go back to Formula One.
Every race.
Every race, they might see a wing that's wrong, and they're going to protest. I mean, like that's
you take every what's it called?
Every edge
you can. I mean, look at hockey or football. Everyone's just constantly screaming for penalties and whatever. So it's the same. Like, I don't understand why it's any different. It shouldn't be.
No.
Like, you know, part of sport.
It is. Yeah. It's just because it's the rider doing it and not the coach on the bench or something. Yeah. It's part of it. So. I wonder if they looked at video replay for that.
I'm sure they did. Yeah.
What angle did they look at? You think they had the YouTube feed up?
Someone told me today that Drew Polk had the video at the finish line.
So they just looked at Drew Polk.
Look, I don't want to like create a situation here, but that's what I heard. If it's incorrect, I apologize, but that's what I heard. So I don't know if it's true, but dude, they have like, you could easily just pull up the live stream on your phone. Like I was watching and they could look at that. So yeah,
that's what I kind of figured. Like I figure if that's real and they use Drew Polk's thing, I mean, that's a little unprofessional, but at the same time, like that's what we've talked about, that they should be like allowed to do, because a video is a video. You can't edit that video that he just took to see. So, I mean, it's evidence.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe there was an official right at the finish line that was looking straight down the last straight and saw it too.
I mean, which would be easy to see. Even on the last corner, you should be able to see that.
Maybe we need to start mounting a camera like on the finish line, looking at the last turn, or on the last turn, looking down the last straight. Oh,
then we're getting picky with it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's an option.
It is. No, you're right. It is. Yeah. Some of these rules, it's like, I think people like to say it's BMX. How like deep into the rules are we going to get? Like, are we going to get that picky about cutting off? Like, that's part of the sport, blah, blah, blah. It's like, while I think that BMX is a cool sport because it is wild and all that, rules make it, make us live in like this, in a world where it's like, we get a certain type of racing because we have rules. If you could just cut anybody off down the last straight, you're never going to see anybody line up at the line. It's never going to be as exciting. Yeah. So it's like this, you need them.
And I think a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people haven't seen this rule call, so they feel like it's never been called and all of a sudden it was called, and that's bullshit. But you know, it's interesting. If you look at a lot of comments on the post, a lot of the European riders were saying, yeah, it's the rule and it gets called all the time kind of thing. Because I think in Europe, obviously in UCI stuff, it's called more. I think in general, like USA BMX is a lot more slack when it comes to rules than other countries, for sure. Like we know in Canada, people get fucking DQ'd all the time. Yeah. You're sitting behind the gate with your helmet off. Oh, there's a $50 fine. Like it's not, we're not even kidding. Like that stuff is, you know, they're walking around with a rule book a lot of time, like trying to penalize people. Yeah. But and whereas USA BMX, obviously it's more slack. And generally, I think we've all come to like that, that it's more like the pros police themselves. But this is, like I said, it's been called an amateur a bunch in the past, I believe. And it's not the first time it's been called either. So it's like, well, it's still the rule. So
it is. You can't, we talk about policing ourselves. You can't police, riders can't police each other. We're not playing pickup basketball and calling our own fouls. You know what I mean? This isn't like a pickup half court 3-on-3 calling your own fouls. Like, oh, I got fouled. No, you can't do that because it's a win. Like, you need somebody calling it.
It is kind of weird, though, because this rule's enforced, but then, like, you're technically not allowed to cut someone off to the 30-foot line. And it's like, well, every lap in elite, people get chopped and nothing gets called. And that's just kind of accepted. It's weird, though. Like, some rules are enforced and some aren't completely.
Yeah. Do we have that rule in BMX? Like for pros, is there the 30-foot rule too?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Okay. Because I kind of thought that was like a non-existent rule too.
So I think by the book, dude, I'm pretty sure they're
I could read it. Yeah. I'm looking at 30-foot rule. I don't want to read the whole thing. It's a little longer.
Well, there's deliberate interference. Interference is often a complex offense, given that BMX is a contact sport. The commissaries will determine whether it was deliberate or not. If an infraction or interference can be avoided and is caused, the commissaries may determine it is being deliberate. Okay, well, by that rule, every time you cut someone off, it's deliberate. So,
yeah, so now that's wrong.
Open up a fucking can of worms.
We are. Just get the can opener right now. We got to keep this thing closed.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm not going to touch that right now.
No, we're not going to touch that one. We're sticking in our lane on the last straightway.
Stay in your lane, buddy.
I was also talking to another individual today, and we were having a good discussion about it. The gentleman that, you know, said about the cam situation that he thought he, like, let off the gas, basically. So he was saying, like, well, maybe they should just put lanes on the last straight, like, in chalk, like, you know, lanes.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? I never thought of that, really, but it's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not. But at the same time, I think it would be ridiculous because if you're behind the guy, it's like Formula One. You want to be able to pull up behind and maybe cut out. And I know you're not drafting, but yeah.
There's obviously flaws in each system. Like, or each, there's not a, you know.
I'm good at finding flaws and not a solution. I just bring up the flaws.
Well, that's what we do on this show. We just talk. Anyway, thanks for the show, boys. In Tulsa, that was something.
I can't wait for the next. When Nashville? When are we stacking them up next? Nashville, I think so.
Yep, Nashville, and yeah, so that was electric.
It's gonna be awesome. I can't wait to see it happen again.
You know, it's funny too. Joris won the second day. No one was even talking about it. I didn't even know who won because I didn't watch past the first turn.
Nobody paid attention. Nobody wanted to know. They didn't realize that was just a low key under the radar win by Joris. Just. He's been racking them up like that kind of.
Talk about the most low-key win that no one really was excited about. And like Joris rode phenomenally, but all eyes were just on Isaac and Cam, obviously.
Yeah. People wanted to see if there was fist fights going on the turn. They weren't worried about what was happening at the front of the racetrack.
So I was kind of wondering what happened after they crashed in the first corner. What happened? Because they both would have got up and probably rolled around at, you know, similar time. Like nothing happened or what?
I'm going to assume Cam got up and just kept rolling. Didn't want to see anything. Like didn't want any business because it was just whatever. I bet you Isaac was looking around. I'm sure he wouldn't have done anything, but I'm sure he would have been pissed off. I know if I was up on the turn after that, I would be looking around pissed off. Like just try to give the guy like, what the hell are we doing? One of those looks, you know what I mean? But I didn't see anything in the video of them around each other after. So nothing went down.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, what are you really going to do? You could just yell at him, but it's like, well, hey. It's not going to do a whole lot.
Hey, jackass.
So electric.
Electric. So yeah, that was good for Joris. Cool to see. He's low key winning. He's the points leader right now. I think he was actually the points leader going into the weekend. So he's definitely going to be the points leader coming out, I think.
Yeah. And it's slowly ticking him off, especially if Cam and Isaac are crashing. I mean, it's going to leave, if they've crashed out of some mains, like it's going to leave an opening for another guy to win too, you know, like straight up. To be real. Yeah.
They got to be careful. I wonder if they would rather make sure the other guy doesn't win than to just let Joris win. You know what I mean? I don't know.
All eyes are on them, and Joris racks up 12 wins this year.
Completely under the radar.
But yeah, Sylvain rode really well too. Like, talk about another French guy. Always there, like classic Sylvain, just in the mix. And yeah, rode fantastic. He really did.
We didn't get that win from him. That happens. That's racing. But he was flying still. Talk about it. We've said it before. Talk about a guy who has improved on his first straights the older he's gotten.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. He's in the mix fully. Paddling for wins.
Honestly, it's kind of all I had for elite men in terms of topics. Like, I didn't really make note of much else, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I wanted to know Cam Larson. I thought he was flying both days. I mean, all year, I think he has been. I think we saw Rock Hill. He was going really quick. So I wanted to shout him out, too. He was moving. I separated some of the things in my notes here for national champs. We'll change things up when we get there. But for the men's racing for the first 2 days, that was about it. Joey was going fast. Cam was going fast. Sylvain was doing Sylvain things.
Yeah. Late women's side, I think one of the big stories was Saya. Man, she rode awesome. I don't even remember the last time I saw her race, a big race, really, to be honest. I know she's had some issues with concussion and injuries, so it's really good to see her healthy and back racing at a super high level. She's such a great and still really young talent in our sport and has a really bright future, so she rode phenomenally well.
That was cool to see. That was awesome. The ladies put on a show. 8 people, 3 laps. People would make a joke about equal pay. They only had to do 3 laps. They had total points. You know what? They put on a show 3 laps from what I saw. They were good battles.
Three mains, yeah.
Yeah, like that's tough. That is tough. And they really raced for it. Like that was cool. Elise was in the mix. Isaiah was leading some laps. Peyton was leading a lap. Lazabere was in the mix. Like there was a lot of girls going at it.
Yeah, that was, dude, it was like that. Talk about not an easy race day to start with basically your first main.
That's frustrating. It's tough when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't get a warm up. You just got to hop right into it.
Yeah. You better be ready to go.
You better hit a dynam before first round and be ready. Cause in all honesty, it's not easy. And if you have a bad first moto, like you're a good result could be, I don't want to say gone, but obviously much tougher.
Yeah. Did it surprise you how fast Sarah was going in comparison to Elise?
I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought before the race, to be honest. I didn't really know what to expect, but no, it didn't surprise me. Like that's her level. So if she's healthy and training and ready, like that's the level she's going to race at. I mean, she's a World Cup winner.
Yeah, true. It caught me off guard a little bit. To be honest, I forgot she was there and was going there. So, and then to see her flying like that after we haven't seen her for a while, it caught me off guard. I was like, Jesus, like Sai's been putting in that work. Good job.
I love the Australian national champion jersey. That has just always been one of my favorite jerseys. I think the yellow sleeves are fucking sick. I love that jersey.
With the just all white pants, basically, too. It's incredible.
Oh, my God. It's so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
That's one of my favorite jerseys I've ever seen.
Yeah, fair enough. They had quite the little explosion. And I think that was day one. Was it day one? I think it was day one. Or was that day? I don't know. trying to figure out the days right now.
Spice Girls are mixing it up.
Yep. They're doing what they do best.
The Spice Girls are mixing it up. Mackenzie, Delaney, Peyton, Lexi. They're all in the mix, obviously. And just like, I feel like there's so many positions swapped down this, down the first turn, second straight.
I can't even keep track watching the video of everyone just going everywhere. It's crazy.
There's just people everywhere all the time, just mixing it up.
Yeah, I was trying to watch the videos there. It's too much. But no, they're flying. Peyton was looking really good. I think home track, now that she's living there, she probably had a little bit of an edge. Pretty comfortable with that track, the first jump, everything about it. I think it showed. I thought so.
Yeah. Peyton's really stepped it up this year. And I think obviously she moved to Tulsa, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think it really made a positive difference in her riding. No question, be able to ride that track all the time and ride the Supercross Hill. It, you know, makes a big difference. Obviously, if you're a good rider and you don't have the best local track, you can still make it work. But it certainly makes it, I think it makes a big difference if you have a track like that.
Yeah, true. Felicia seemed to be a little off again. We didn't see her. I would normally expect her to be battling up with Elise and Saya and them. So,
what's going on there?
I think we're missing something in the puzzle piece or in the, you know, the whatever.
Something's not clicking.
No. And I know it's probably getting ramped up for World Cups at this point. Let's be real. I'm sure her focus is World Cups, make the Olympic team, do that stuff. That's obviously, if that is the case, then you're still building maybe, but I just thought we would have seen a little more from her.
Her A game is so high, obviously, being world champion, USA BMX past champion. Yeah, and she's just been a tick off this year. I know she, like we talked about, I know she got hurt in the off season. I don't know if it's still affecting her or what, but there's something, she's missing a little something still. So be interested to see over the next like month or so leading to the first World Cup, what her level's like. But yeah, it's not quite firing on all cylinders right now.
As a fellow, as an answer BMX backed S squared rider, Claiborne BMX catchers today too. You know, you just hate to see it. We're just looking for our gal to just start, you know, put it up on the box and just win some races. And yeah. But the other answer back to S squared rider, Lazabear, Lauren Reynolds, maybe not her best weekend, still puts it on the box though. Still in there mixing it up.
Laza does Laza things. She gets it on the box.
At least once a weekend on the box.
The report on Elise, she was pulling.
Pretty simple, eh?
Yeah, that's the report on Al. She's pulling.
Pretty good report. I mean, pretty standard issue report.
What do we... So, want to hop into Nat Champs now?
Yes, let's do it. Because there was some more excitement in National Champs we need to
what
talk
do we
about.
Think, what do we think about the move Cam on Spencer in the first corner?
I really tried to look at it a few times to get a good opinion of it. I'm a very firm believer of any racer that sees an open door or sees an opening and doesn't take it, isn't racing full out. So if you see an opening, you go full out, you take that opening. While I believe that and I will stick with that, I don't think this was an opening that was really there or necessary to take in the instance for what happened. I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it was a little late out of the corner.
Yes.
Like I think that's like, for instance, if you compare it to the Cam and Isaac situation, like I feel like they're both just going for the win and close going into the corner and then got stuck. So the contact was earlier. In this, I feel like Cam came underneath, kind of swung through, and then he hit him like as they were exiting the corner. Whereas at that point, I think you're better off to high-low and try and pass him on the straightaway or on the next turn. Hmm. Because I don't think it's really going to stick at that point of the corner. It's too late.
No, it was kind of weird, wasn't it? Like it looked like an early, like almost like an early high-low, like cut across maybe like... and then like, cause I think who was on the inside, he teed up somebody. I think it was Kempel. He kind of teed up Kempel across like in front. And then just as he's exiting the turn, he's pedaling while also running into Spencer. And it's like, if you're pedaling and trying to cut somebody off out of the turn like that, like you're about to blow up. Somebody's blowing up if you're doing that.
Yeah. I think at that point it's too late. You can't be pedaling and bumping like that before a pro section. Super dangerous, actually, to be honest. I think like you got to make the move earlier. Like, if you're going to make contact, do it when you're like the first half of the corner, like bump and then run and pedal out instead of pedaling out and then bumping. It's a little late. And at that point, like I said, I think it's not only safer, but better interest of both riders to just, drag race down the second straight. So if you're in second in that situation, high, low, and then just try and pass him.
Yeah, because I'm just watching the move over again. Like, Cam's initial move to get under Spencer in the turn and cut Kempel off was really good. I mean, it looked awesome. Found, like, what looked like a very small opening, small hole, cuts across, makes it work. But then the after part just gets, I think, gets a little greedy. I think he completely gets greedy, gets excited. It's like, you're going for a win at national champs. We talk about national champs. Shit happens all the time. That's one of those ones where I think you got too excited. You can't be doing that then.
Poor Spencer. Whole shots against fucking cleaned up.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal. Former teammates, too. What an
exciting main that was, though. Holy smokes.
Yeah, that was nuts. And then the fact that I think Kempel went on to win. I think he passed. Who did he pass at the line? Let me look again.
Honestly, Brain's been riding really well this year.
He has, and I was going to say, he didn't jump the last pro jump into the second turn and then still had enough speed to continue, because none of the guys jumped the pro set well, so he had enough speed to continue on and then eventually went for
just
the line.
Just an absolute shit show of a lap.
Yeah, that was something. So
yeah, but honestly, you just fucking make it work, and good job, dude. Like, he's done well this year already. He's been riding well, like in Houston and some earlier races, so congrats to him.
That was cool. Junior men's race, shout out Ethan Popovich. I mean, back-to-back junior titles, it's always kind of, that's a cool thing to do. I thought him and Cedric had a cool little battle going on.
Yeah, Cedric's hole shotted a bunch this year, but he's gotten passed or taken out, so he hasn't been able to seal the deal on some wins that he's been leading. So I saw he's made some mistakes, I think, going to last corner and then get a great drive out of the last turn. And Epop had a clean third straight rail and came out with speed. So Epop rode really well and deserved the win overall. I think Cedric's really close, I think, to winning a lot of these. Yeah. He's just got to be a little cleaner and watch his lines a bit more, like on the second half of the track into the last corner and stuff, to avoid getting passed in the corner or on straightaways. And I think he can start taking some off. But yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that, but I didn't realize that bobble he made in the rhythm. That's you make a bobble there, and some guy is flooring it and behind you. They have so much more momentum through that turn that it's like a slingshot out of the last turn for him.
Yeah, and obviously, like, the guy in second can use the whole track, where the guy in first doesn't really know where he's at and has to be more conservative in the last corner with his line. Yeah. And he kind of went more inside, shot up high, and Epop just fucking ripped around. So
yeah. Do you think part of this is just Cedric getting used to, like, I know 17 to 20 class or whatever he was racing, 16X class is extremely fast, but there are more heaters, more guys in this class, I think. Do you think that plays a part?
For sure. Junior's really tough class, and there's more on the line. And honestly, just racing supercross is different in general. It takes some getting used to. The speed's so much higher, the jumps come quicker, the laps are more tiring. It's a different animal. Plus, he's first year junior racing against guys that have also done it a year already, which makes a significant difference. But yeah, I'm sure he's learning from these. And like I said, he's really close, in my opinion, to ticking these off.
It's coming. The guy's flying. Still your pick for junior world champ?
Yeah, I'm holding stock. But congrats, Epop. Like, he deserved the win. He rode really well.
Yeah. And a big congrats to young Shibby. Sauce Drip Anthony Bicardo, your new USA Elite Men National Champion.
Got to say, man, he's been riding well this whole year. Like, we've talked about him a lot on here. Track speed's been good. Race sense has been good. And he's just been very consistent. Doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. And yeah, he just straight up passed Cam. Like, I don't know what else to say. He just rode well.
I'm getting low battery, T. Hold up. Continue. Everyone, I'm gonna talk and then I'm gonna do this. But no, he did right. He rode really well, and I think I mentioned it before the week that I was like, keep an eye on him, because the track like this, you need flow. You know, when Shibby's been at a track grinding, you know, doing some training with the guys, I think he's in a good headspace, and he sets himself up well for racing and for the weekend. I think he did that. I think he looked good all weekend. That things came together for the main, for sure, the way it played out, but he made it happen. Like, that first turn, he made shit happen. He found the lines around the track to make something happen, so that was cool.
Yeah, so obviously a huge win for him. I think a lot of people were really happy for him, and he's national champ.
I bet you, no offense to Anthony, but just the way things play, I bet you he wasn't many people's picks, just the way how fast the cams were going and whatnot, eh?
No, for sure not. Everyone would have thought Cam would have been. Yeah.
Everyone loves an underdog story, though. Everyone loves that.
Yeah. And Jay Smooth, congrats on a good second place finish as well. Another solid podium for Jay Smooth. Well earned.
I think he said something like, what is it, 3-4, I don't know, seconds in a row at national champs for him. It's pretty crazy.
He's a podium machine.
Yeah, national champs, just put him down on the podium.
Just fucking mark it.
Oh, we got young Shibby. Shibby's just in the chat right now, right? Just, you know, Sawstrip's just in the chat. Let's
Shibby,
go.
National champ, baby.
Come on. Let's just send him the link right now.
He just has the umbrella with the fucking rain on it.
Sawstrip. What I thought was so cool about that, I just want to throw it in there, was I don't know if Jeremy was laughing at Anthony almost eating shit after the line. I don't think so. I think he was smiling. You could see in the photo that Jeremy was smiling behind Anthony, and it was probably because, you know, he's just like a buddy. He's a friend. He popped one off. He won the race. Like, that's got to be cool. And I thought that was a cool picture.
Really? I saw that picture too. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And bummer for Cam. Like, honestly, he rode really well and just got passed, obviously. But he rode a great man at the last corner. And yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
What else?
Want to get into our game? I think we're good for Tulsa.
Okay. Hold on. Wait for it. We got a game for you folks today. Okay. Enough of that. Okay. This game is going off of the game that you actually kind of suggested from last time. So I'm going to give you a rider, and I'm going to ask you this first. Do you want me to give you a position and then you say higher or lower, or do you want to give me what place you think they get?
You decide. Your game.
I'm going to give you a place, and you're going to tell me if you think this rider is going to do better or worse at World Championships this year in Glasgow.
Okay, 10-4.
We're going to do 5 women, and then we're going to do 5 men.
Okay.
All right. Let's start you off with, I think this is a pretty easy one. Bethany Schriever, 15th.
Well, 15th? Higher.
That was an easy one.
Okay, wait. Is higher like first set, is higher like a better position, or is lower a better position?
Just say better or worse.
Okay, better.
Yeah, better. The reason why I said 15th was because I think that's what you got last year's world, so that's where that one came from. Anyways, it's okay. Not going to be what it is now moving forward, though. Camille Mayer, 6th.
You would do that. I think worse. I bet she gets like 7-8.
7-8? Okay. Laura Smulders, 5th.
Better.
Meryl Smulders, 3rd.
Worse.
Mariana Pajone, 8th.
Oh, it's a tough one.
Yep.
Worse.
Felicia Stansel, 5th.
Worse.
Okay, that's good for that. We'll go to men now. I think I did more. How did I find this? Oh no. Pause for the cause. Talk amongst yourself. Enjoy the car ride for a quick moment.
Did you lose the results page?
I'm like, yeah. I don't have my back button to change to elite men now, so now I'm going to write to the homepage here and start from scratch here. So just chit-chat right now, just making contact.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, there it is. That's the link we're looking for. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Sylvain André, 3rd place.
Oh. Sylvain, 3rd. Worse.
Okay. Kai White, 5th place.
Better.
Okay. Hold up. Hold the phone. Let me click on that. Oh, I forgot to a couple other girls, but I'll get to those after. Okay. Arthur Pillard, 12th place.
Better. He's got to be better. Yeah.
Got to be better. Jeremy Rencorel, 7th place.
better.
Simon Marquardt, second place.
Does he race still? Worse.
Oh, that's a weird one. Let's see. Corbin Sherrod, 18th. It's a tough one.
Better.
Okay, let's get into, I'm going to just jump around here a little bit. Hit you with a couple different ones. Let me just make sure I say their name right. So I'm going to open up a list here. Melanie, the girl from that won the Worlds in Elite Women, is she going to get 12th place?
The girl that what?
The girl that won U23 Women. I don't know how to say her last name.
Oh, okay. They said Elite Women. I was like, who are you talking about?
No, sorry.
Place. What place do you say?
12th place.
Worse.
Molly Simpson. 10th place. That's a toughie.
Mm-hmm.
It would go either way.
Mm-hmm. We go worse.
All right, three more. We're going to do Rico Behrman. I assume he's, I don't know if he's racing Elite yet, but I'm going to pretend he is and say 15th.
Elite, oh, that's a tough one.
That's
too.
That's tough. First time in Elite Men, if he is racing.
I know. Men. Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one.
I don't even know what I would do there. It's hard when guys haven't been in Elite at Worlds or World Cups.
I'm gonna. You know what? I bet he makes semis. I'm gonna go better.
All right. Nice. Leo Garion. This might be an easy answer for you, but. Let's say, Leo. Let's say 8th place, Leo Garion.
Oh, worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. That is the fan favorite game show.
Fan favorite. The wildly sought after game show.
So I don't know if you'd ever notice this, but in the description of the podcast, whenever we have a game show, no matter what game it is, I always put a new fan favorite game.
Fucking love it.
Every time.
We have a shit ton of quick shots to get to.
All right. Let's take a deep dive into these bad boys.
Although, to be fair, I was scrolling through them. A lot of them are going to be ones we covered in the show.
Okay. Should we say them anyways this time? Like, a lot of times we just skip over the ones we say twice. Do you want to just...
Okay. So, okay. HP Dub, Dream Supercross Calendar. That's a cool question.
Dream Supercross calendar. I think that's kind of like our, yeah, okay. Hit me with one.
Chula Vista. I'm going Chula Vista, Papendal, Medellin, Copenhagen, and Auckland. Fucking nice. Give it to me.
Hell yeah.
Hold up. We're going to Chula Vista. We're going to Papendal. Fréjus, France. Then we're going to Copenhagen, and we're going to Medellin.
Nice.
And then if you want a six, we'll go to Auckland.
I think that's pretty good. Yeah. I'm not even going to give one. That's good.
Okay.
Where do you start in your list? Do you start at the top or the bottom when we do this?
Top.
Okay, I'll start at the top.
From G South 855. Will Cam and Isaac screw up their own title chances by taking each other out? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. There's enough races in the year that they'll pick them off enough. It's just, if anything like this goes down to Grands, though, that there's a potential there.
I didn't even think of Grands. We could have an absolute fucking show on our hands.
Dude, it could be nuts, couldn't it?
It's going to be a three-wayer with Joris.
That'll be exciting.
And Joris is going to just veteran his way in there.
He's going to know exactly what to do, just like he has in the past.
Yeah.
Sebas 404 to James Burns Potatoes mid-podcast last week. No, they're perfect. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. Thoughts here from Cameron Smith. Thoughts on USABMX adding camera shot / POV to watch drama unfold. I think we need some eyes on the riders after the crash if it's not bad.
Yeah.
If it's not bad.
Yeah, we do. From Hayden Harves, what would the Chatter Boys have done on Friday's Elite Main, call or no call? I mean, were we both for a call?
Yeah, we were for a call. Different reasoning for it, but yeah, we're for a call. This one, Victor Punton, is Isaac coming on Coffee Chatter soon? I mean, I kind of hope he is. We asked him once and he was busy or I don't know, wasn't interested. I'd love to have him. I'd love to have them both on right now just to go at it.
Yeah, it's obviously not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, but you know.
From Joel Pena, 298, what's a fundamental bike skill you need for BMX? Example, being able to stand up and pedal. Yeah, stand up and pedal, I mean, for sure. I'd say balance overall, like balancing the gate and balancing on the track without like tipping over. Like that's a, you know, that's a basic fundamental skill you certainly need.
And I was thinking the exact same thing, actually. Different reasoning though, was just for any skill set, you need to learn how to move and balance on the bike. Not just like to stay upright, but literally to adjust and move and adapt to things on your bike. You need to have balance.
Cameron 997, would you rather have 50 PSI or 120 PSI down a supercross hill? I'm going 120.
I'll take 120. I mean, that 100%. Would be rock hard, but I'll take 120.
Yeah.
Keep her going. You're on a roll right now.
From Cameron 997, do you think the Grands will ever bring in, he puts tar start hill. I'm guessing supercross start hill and corners. We'll go with supercross hill. No, and I don't think they should bring a supercross hill to the Grands either.
Oh, he's talking about asphalt start hill and corners. I think. Tar, maybe just tar. Yeah. You don't think so? No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
What is this one from Adam G? Did Sylvan's post hint about not being with Commencel in the future? I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't really see Sylvan's post, but I don't know.
I don't know what that is. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure all his posts are pretty commenceled up right now. And if it was his bike that was covered up, then that's not that.
Sylvan's their guy.
Yeah. He's a pride and joy right now.
Yeah. He's their dude.
Taylor Tatchley, he says, I understand racing is racing, but BMX is about family. Where is sportsmanship gone in the sport? Sportsmanship's one thing. When you're racing at this level, there's not much of that, though. You're racing at the highest level. There's not going to be much of that when two guys are beefing it out, going back and forth with gnarly moves.
Yeah, I think sportsmanship's important, but at the same time, high-level sport's cutthroat, and, you know, there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
I think that's all. I think that's all we got. Most of them are about Cam and Isaac, but we covered it for like an hour. So,
from Cameron 997, would you rather have no grips or a missing chainring bolt down Tulsa Supercross?
Say no grips.
I could go no grips, but also I don't know. Hands would be pretty slippery. I might take the chainring bolts and just cruise down. I'd take that actually. I'd take one missing chainring bolt.
Yeah, I didn't realize we had 46 comments on our post. Holy fucking shit! Just the one we posted yesterday.
You want to take a look? Sift.
Most of these aren't questions, though. They're just.
Hold up. Did Cedric flip off Polk after the main crash Saturday? Did that happen?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if that happened. Somebody commented that. Andy. Ander Pedal BMX.
How about this? Scott Brohagen, most important topic coming out of Tulsa from this last weekend, how fairly priced the concession stand food was. Really? You know what? you just love to hear that they're not price gouging.
That's awesome. Good for them. Only the best places in the world do not price gouge on concession food. Masters.
Okay, this is actually a good question. Ross the bike boss. Sorry, James, to interrupt.
That's fine, yeah.
My question is, why in BMX does someone making a pass have zero responsibility to make it clean? You can blast someone on the premises that you were trying to make a pass and blast wasn't intentional. Does other forms of racing work this way? Did you crash someone while passing without being penalized? That's a pretty good question, actually.
Can you say that again?
Basically, like, okay, so it's kind of long.
I know.
why in BMX does someone making a pass have zero responsibility to making it clean? Basically saying, like, you could try and pass someone, and if you blow someone up, it's fine, is basically what he's asking. Is that okay? I guess I was always under the impression that kind of like accepted that like if you're trying to make a pass and you both kind of go down, I mean, it's part of racing. Just don't fucking T-bone or deliberately blow someone up is like how I always viewed it. But
I was always growing up too is like we're not playing checkers out here. We are physical. I always considered BMX a physical sport, a contact sport. The contact is in the turns most of the time, and that was to me always part of it. Like you could run in and bump someone shoulder to shoulder pretty hard, and that was clean because you're body to body. So
yeah,
that was always something I thought of. So if you take the guy out, that's clean. Unfortunately, that causes sometimes both of you to crash, and that's what sucks, and that's where it looks bad. But if you're going for a shoulder-to-shoulder, to me, that's fine.
Yeah. All right, I think that's all we got.
Yeah. I'm just squeezing through here a little bit. Okay.
Tulsa recap, show 199. Gave us some good content to chat about. Both guys are pulling. Looking really forward to seeing them race some more.
Thanks to everyone who joined us live on the YouTube chat. Big showing tonight, and we've changed our times a few times in the past few weeks. We've been a little all over the map with both of our schedules. So shout out to everyone that listened in, and we appreciate it. We're on a show 200 next week. We got to sort our shit out. So
yep. We'll
remember to do that.
All right. Snap on green.
Snap on green, everybody.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.